recorded live.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Virtual Talk Show, produced by the Head of Household. We come your way every Tuesday night from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can get more info about this show by visiting our website, householdstress.com. Listeners can participate in one of our live weekly talk shows by calling in or logging on to householdstress.com from your personal computer as an anonymous guest. Phone lines are open right now, but this show is strictly for men only. So call into the hottest talk show in America. Now, we have a couple of rules, and they are absolutely no profanity and no politics, and more importantly, no racial stuff. This show is apolitical and race neutral so that we can make sure that any man can feel comfortable on our show. But furthermore, this ain't Bible study, fellas. We want you to just be able to come to our show as a man, and that is it. The Virtual Talk Show always presents the hottest topics for discussion, and tonight is no different. Tonight's topic is when your wife starts interviewing for your position. My name is Rodney, and I'll be your pilot for the evening. I've got a lot of material, and the hope is that I can get this plane off the ground and ultimately land on a safe conclusion. This is a fluid conversation, so if you do have something to say, please feel free to do so. Or if you just prefer to listen, that's absolutely fine as well. But please try to hang on till the end because you'll definitely want to hear the conclusion to this episode. Finally, upon the conclusion of tonight's episode, I've got a pretty interesting story to tell for our open mic segment. All right, with all of that said, let's get started. First question, what are some signs that your wife is interviewing for your position as head of household? First question of the evening.
She starts fights with you for no reason.
Absolutely. That's a great one. Anybody else? Some signs that your wife is interviewing for your position as head of household.
Questioning things that you do.
Questioning things that you do. Good stuff. Anybody else?
Holds back on the intimacy.
Holds back on. Man, y'all getting deep. This is only 9:19. We're getting deep. I like it. But if she's literally, quote-unquote, trying other dudes out, is it already too late? You think it's already too late to salvage a relationship if she's already to the point where she's, you know, interviewing other guys? Is it too late?
Pretty much.
Maybe she wants some attention.
Wants some attention, okay. Do you think that could a woman start interviewing other dudes simply because the man is overcommitted or workaholic?
Yep. You're not taking care of business. Hello?
That's right. Well,
you got
to
be a businessman.
Yeah, but how would you feel? How would y'all feel if you found out that your wife is interviewing for your position? How would that make you feel?
Been there, done that, got the legal bills.
And the T-shirt, right?
Right.
Well, how did you feel, Andrew? What was the number one emotion? Like, if you could summarize in one word.
Just happy and excited.
Happy and excited. So the total opposite of that, huh?
Yeah, it ain't cool.
Anybody else? How would you feel if you found out your wife was interviewing for your position?
Upset. Yeah, man. Confused, upset. Trying to figure out, you know, hey, why? You know, why are you doing this? I mean, you had a problem, you could come to me, but you never had a problem, so I didn't even know you was at a position where you wanted to do an interview.
Mm-hmm. Good words, good words. But, P-Town, do you think you can really handle the truth if she were to tell you that she was starting to have feelings for another guy? You think you can handle that?
Nope. But I'll be willing to work through it.
So would you say the mere fact that your lady has feelings for another dude doesn't necessarily end the marriage?
No, it shouldn't just end the marriage, but we should be working on why you have these feelings for these other dudes and how we can stop it.
Good words, good words. Anybody else? Could a mere thought that your lady has feelings for another guy potentially end your marriage despite the fact that she hasn't slept with him? She just has feelings. You know, she's just coming to you trying to be honest. I mean, could that fact potentially end your marriage?
Should wake you up.
Wake up call, absolutely. Absolutely. But I mean, honestly, fellas, can you really control how your lady feels about somebody else?
Nope. That's why you got to be on your job.
So you can control it indirectly, you're saying?
Yeah.
She feels...
So bottom line is, if you find out what her needs are and fulfill her needs, I mean, that drops that potential greatly. You know, but, you know, there are reasons, you know, affairs don't happen in a vacuum. There's always an action and a reaction, an action and a reaction, and that doesn't mean it's your fault. It simply means that there are needs, and it may be a need inside of her that isn't being fulfilled or that she doesn't quite understand, you know, so it doesn't mean that you're not doing things. It could be something up inside of her that's, you know, that just... needs to get right.
Good words, good words. Anybody else? Can you really control how your lady feels about someone else, directly or indirectly? What if she just flirts with him? Would flirting be considered cheating? If she just flirts with him? Huh? Go ahead, brother.
I believe it is. I mean, I believe anything that you do that's outside of marriage, and that's even with fantasies, could be terms of cheating. It's just my opinion. If it gets you excited, let's put it that way.
Okay. Would anybody like to agree or disagree with that? Flirting considered cheating? Yes, no, maybe so. Anybody? Agree or disagree with flirting as cheating?
I don't know if it's inherently cheating, because people flirt all the time. Some people flirt and they don't even realize that they're flirting. It's just kind of like part of what they do. I think it becomes cheating when that flirting turns into desire.
That's deep. Good words, brother. Good words. But what would you do? What would you do if you found out your lady was carrying out an emotional affair on Facebook or another social media outlet? Just an emotional thing. What would you do in that case? You found out she had a Facebook boyfriend. What would you do? What would y'all do, fellas? I mean, if you, you know, found out about the boyfriend on Facebook, what would you do? How would you respond versus how you react? Or would you care?
Like,
go ahead.
Yeah, I think you care, definitely. But it's one of those things that I think you would probably try to get the text from some of the messages and bring it up, and then there really isn't any opportunity to kind of slip around the obvious or the reality of the situation, and basically better talk it out and not try to duck it or dodge it.
Mm. So you would pull up the chat history, or as much as you can, or as much was available. Try to.
Yep.
Okay. Anybody else? What would you do if you found out your lady was carrying out an emotional affair on Facebook? Never met the guy, or she knew the guy, but you know she wasn't meeting the guy, other than on Facebook. What would you do? How would you respond to that? How would you react to that?
Again, it's the same situation, you know. It's a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say it is a red flag. It may not necessarily be a red flag about just your relationship, but about the state of mind of the person that you're with, because when people start carrying out these online relationships and such, or it starts to get to the point where they are becoming or trying to become intimately involved, that's not something that a person in the room can compete with, because there's novelty and there's sort of this excitement of immediate response and immediate availability. And, you know, it's, in fact, I think Newsweek, in fact, a few months ago did an article all about it, and how it has affected basically the brains of some people, because they get this and they get used to having an immediate response to things, and they get used to this constant stimulus of their comments being responded to. So you can't, as I think, as a husband, if you found your wife, you know, was getting involved with somebody over Facebook, it's not one, going to be super easy to approach, but it has to be done. It is a red flag, but I don't know if it's a red flag about the danger of the relationship yet. It could be if it really got bad, but it's probably more like an addiction problem. You want to address it that way.
Good words. And I didn't read the Newsweek article, but I did remember seeing something where they said, it was another article, maybe it was in the something I read about, the feeling is equivalent to the feeling when a woman gives birth or something. The chemicals that are released with the...
Well, that's
you know,
that's about sex and oxytocin. Oxytocin,
yes.
Is a chemical release.
Yes, oxytocin, yes. That's what they said. It's similar, but it's not, you know, of course it's not the same, but they said that it's the similar reaction, you know, just that immediate response, you know, that you get. And I was like, how in the heck is that possible? But,
it's the same with men and online pornography.
Mm.
People start forming a bonding relationship with the images or the responses they get from the internet.
Good words, good words. Anybody else? Well, I want to go back a little bit to this interview piece. Do you know how many men your wife interviewed before she hired you?
How do you pick this stuff up?
Better question is why does that even matter? I got
it. Doesn't
I don't want to know. Honestly, I don't want to know.
I don't either.
I mean, you got the job. You're not concerned about who they flew in and who they wined and dined and took out on dinner and showed them around the camp. Nobody cares.
Really?
That's right. I'm just concerned with the annual review, man.
So nobody cares how many men your wife interviewed before she hired you. That's interesting.
Nope.
I mean, I don't think we really, really want to know.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
almost like if you had an affair,
mm-hmm.
and she says, I want to know all the details.
No, she don't. She don't want to know all the details.
That's right. Don't do it.
No, she doesn't.
Don't do it. You don't want to know him forever.
That's a
she don't
want to
know.
Yeah.
You don't want to know.
Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. Just word to the wise.
Well, let me flip that question around. How many women did you interview before you gave her wifey position?
Goodness.
Hmm?
I don't see the relevancy of that question either, man. You know?
Yeah, man, we're going to move on. This is recorded, isn't it?
It is.
You might hear this on Audrey Chapman or something. I don't know about y'all. How are you cool, man? I don't know.
Probably not to get people in trouble tonight, man.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I'm just getting started,
man.
I'm just getting started, brother. You know, so that's irrelevant too. How many?
Yeah, that's irrelevant. Next question, please.
Well, what about the women who weren't hired for the wifey position?
Uh huh.
Why did you hire them? Why weren't they the one that was hired?
Lots of reasons. Some of them gave it up too quick.
Mm-hmm.
If they gave it to me, they gave it to somebody else. The truthful,
wow.
Man. Y'all know I'm telling the truth.
Pretty much.
Nobody on this call that married a girl that gave it up the first night.
I'd probably say you're probably right on that. You're probably right on that.
It's quiet.
But I mean, what else though, fellas, about the women who weren't hired for wifey position? Okay, we know that, you know, she gave it up too quick. But was there anything else that you were like, you're not wifey material?
You know, sometimes the chemistry isn't right. I mean, she just doesn't do it for you.
Okay.
Nice house, nobody home.
I don't think I ever heard that one. That's good. I might use that in a later episode.
Nice, you know what I'm house. Saying, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Nice house, nobody home.
Well, until she opens her mouth, you go, oh, Lord.
What about your female coworkers? Could you see yourself interviewing any of them? Maybe,
no.
Maybe performing a cavity search or.
You didn't go there. You know, I don't have female coworkers. They work for me. Can't even think like that.
Then that means you have to work with her every day, and then you never get anything done.
That's it, man. That's the wrong move.
What about some of your ladies' female friends, or maybe you've already interviewed a couple of them?
Don't let them know that.
Now, if you say interview, I mean, what do you mean when you say interview?
I don't mean the term interview. We're using it. I'm using it as an analogy.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
But it's not.
You gotta give us definitions. You're the definition man anyway.
Yeah.
He means scoping for a compatible match.
There you go. Exactly.
Well, I think we do that with every. If you're single, you do that with every woman you meet.
Sure.
Yeah, that's true. That's
honest.
True.
Can we be honest on this call?
Yeah, be honest. Go ahead, bro.
Listen, here's where we get in trouble. We want to have our fun, and then we want to have that woman that's going to be there for the rest of our life. So what we try to do is we don't really want the woman that's going to give it to us on the first night or do those wild, freaky things. But then what ends up happening is you find that the one that's supposed to be Mrs. Right, the one who has the word, who has your back, but then you still got in the back of your mind about Mrs. Wrong, that girl that just does everything. And then you try to mold your wife into that girl who did everything.
You see, the problem with that, P-Town, is you'd be wondering, all right, who taught you that? Because it wasn't me. Am I lying?
I'm telling the truth.
See, we all want the sweet, innocent one, and we want to turn her into the freak. We don't want the freak because somebody else done freaked that.
Mm-hmm.
But then now you wonder why she wants somebody else, because now it's not the same person that she married. That, you know, why does he want me to do all this? Let me go out here and start interviewing.
Mm-hmm.
She ain't going to interview because of that. She going to interview because you dropped the ball.
Mm-hmm.
She going to interview because you were interested in the chase, but then you got it and the chase was over, and you forgot about her with her stretch marks and three kids.
Yeah, but that in that marrying, I mean, now she's looking at your representative.
That's you're right. Okay, because you know we're all in it for the chase.
Mm-hmm.
And too many of us think that that's love. Okay, instead of understanding that, the chase isn't love, and that's not what love is. And we gotta convert that from the chase time to what real love is.
Good words, good words. Well, I want to pull out the real definition of interview just for a second, then I'll get back to what we were talking about. But what about your wife interviewing for a position at your place of work? Would that be cool? Interviewing for a position at your job, would that be cool?
Well, isn't that the independent woman anyway?
Can you repeat that, Ron?
Yeah, I said, what about your wife interviewing for a position at your place of work, at your job? And I'm being literal now.
Without you knowing?
No, you know. She's like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and apply down at your job.
I mean,
would
if she really wanted to, I wouldn't have any problems with it, but it involves some manual labor, and I don't think she'd be down for that. I'm just saying.
Yeah, my ex-wife worked in my company, and that is a tough situation. When you build a company and your wife wants to join you, that doesn't work.
But would you say that are there boundaries? I mean, would you advise her not to apply at your place of work?
I wouldn't hire my wife now. My current wife, I wouldn't hire.
Why not? I mean,
because
wouldn't it be... Because
there's a difference between the boss and the husband. Okay? And if I have to tell you something as your boss, all right, when I walk out of that door, it's still carrying with you.
Right.
And it's coming home, and I got to deal with it. And
boss,
I say things like,
yeah,
look, I built this company, and I know what needs to be done, and I got to hear your mouth about it. I don't need that. I need to come home and say, honey, how was your day?
Yeah. I can see the conflict as the boss, but as a coworker, I don't think it'd be an issue.
Yeah, because, I mean, wouldn't it be an enjoyable experience if your wife, you know, started working with you? I mean, you're commuting back and forth to work together every day, eating
lunch
together every day. You'd never be apart.
Making plans for the weekend, bam, bam, right there, yeah. I mean, that's if you're flying straight. If you're not flying straight, then, there's a problem.
As soon as there's a bump in the road, though, man, it gets funky.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely got to have a strong, strong foundation for that to work successfully.
Yeah, because that's a lot of time. I mean, I think that we all need our space.
I think we need our space. And like I said, if she's a subordinate, it ain't going to work.
Yeah.
Now, I've been there. It don't work.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know. I think that my wife and I could work together, but I don't know if I'll prefer that. Like, I just...
If you were her boss,
no,
how would that work?
I mean, I'm talking about just coworkers.
I'm talking about her as a subordinate.
I mean, it'll be difficult there, but I'm talking specifically about a colleague, you know, just at the same office. We're just on the same team or whatever. And,
well,
you know,
I mean, I've seen it work both ways. I mean, I in North Carolina there was a couple that were mortgage brokers, you know, and he would. It was his business. She worked with him. She would fill out the paperwork. He would sign them. You know, they would take turns. Then they got large where she would just take a whole lot of them, and then he would take the others, and then they would have a meeting, and everything was good. I think it depends on the business. If it's a high-stress business, I don't know if I would do it. You know, I want to sleep with the boss.
I think you need some space.
Yeah, I agree.
I've been in both situations, and I think you need some space.
Yeah, that'd be tough, seeing her for 8 hours and then go home.
Signing your wife's paycheck sucks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know how you can say that, though, because isn't that what, I mean, we talked about on other calls that we want to do everything with the wife.
I'm telling you, man, I've been there. It sucks.
So we need to make sure we change some of these things to how we say things, because I mean, and I'm just being honest, is that we can't say that we want to do everything with the wife. We, you know, we want to spend this time. We want to go out. Everything we do is together. And then we're except for job.
Now, yeah. You need some space. You need some time to miss each other.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't think that we as a collective say that. Now, some people on the show say that. Other people don't. You know,
I love being with my wife. But you know what? She needs her space. I need my space. She and her girlfriend went up to New York for the day on Saturday. I was fine with that. You know, and you know, I mean, we need our space. You need to do your thing. Sometimes I need to go out with the guys and go to the golf range. You know, you do your thing, I do my thing. We get together and enjoy each other more.
Yeah, but you're still kind of just talking about, you know, recreational activities. What if the thing that you do, the thing that you both enjoy, is one of the same things and you both do it very well and could potentially do that from the same company? I think that's kind of what Rodney's getting at. And, you know, and I understand that whole need for space and how that's discussed, and it's a big deal. And it really is a big deal for some folks. But, you know, potentially if two people are able to work together and that doesn't get in the way of the actual work or their enjoyment of the work, you can still go and play golf with the boys, and you can still go off to New York and have a life, you know, outside.
I don't have any problem with that. All I'm saying is, that when things are good, it's great, but when things get funky, and in every marriage, you're going to hit those spots.
It's a funky time, that's for sure.
And then you got to go to work with her.
And you got, you know, and believe me, the stress carries over. You can't just push a button and walk in. You know, and when you leave, you don't just push a button and leave it at work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When things are great, it's wonderful. We're going to lunch, we're having a good time, we're spending time together. But I really think that we really need some time apart. I've been in both situations personally, you know, and I think it works a whole lot better when people have a little bit of space and can miss each other a minute.
Well, let me add another little layer to that, another little wrinkle to that question. What about if your performance at your job, and I'm being literal still here, you know, say you could see the writing on the wall that any day, you know, they were going to come and, you know, let you go, you know, based on your performance. What about your wife interviewing for your position, the position that you're in right now, that she's literally applying and interviewing for your position? Now, you know, you already know the writing's on the wall. You know, any day, you know, boss man's been like, you know, we got to let you go, bro. The performance is struggling. How would you feel if your wife was interviewing for your spot?
I'd be like, baby, bring home the bacon.
That also sounds like an ethical issue involving nepotism, to which I don't think that either person or the company would consent.
No.
Yeah.
Picture that happening in a marriage. I mean, what are the chances of that ever happening?
I mean, it's possible because, let's just, you know, going back to what Andrew was saying, you got your space and everything, and your wife knows pretty much everything about your job, the ins and outs, because you all talk about it all the time.
That don't mean she's qualified to do the job.
Yeah, but maybe she's thought that, you know what, I could do your job. I could do that. I think I'd be good at that. And she actually filled out the application.
Oh, Rodney, yeah. You're right there, man. I'm fighting words right there. If you go to a company that let go of me, and then I got to hear the same drama 2 years from now that they did to me, now they're doing to you, because you just know how that company is?
Well, not necessarily, because she could end up being a top performer. Maybe she could do your job better than you could.
Well, then, I mean, that's fine, but do it somewhere else. Don't do it somewhere else.
Yeah, that's right.
That's true. She wouldn't have a whole lot of respect for you if she came gunning for your job.
Yeah.
Yeah. What happened?
That's
a whole.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, we let you go. Your wife is, they be having your wife come up for awards and everything. And you
come
be
on,
her date to the
listen,
Christmas
listen.
Party.
You don't even have to say your wife. We resent coworkers trying to take our spots. You want to put the wife in the mood? No, that dog's going.
Okay. All right. Just checking. All right. Good stuff. Let me switch gears. Back to the analogy of the word interview. How extensive of an interview did you conduct on your wife before you said I do? Do you think you asked enough of the right questions?
I know I did. Matter of fact, because of what I've been through in the past, I put her on a plane, flew her to Orlando, and had her interview with some of my Christian friends to make sure I wasn't crazy.
Wow. So you were serious about this interview process.
I was real serious because I didn't want to be caught up in the emotion. I wanted to make sure that what I thought her heart was, that they agreed. Because they had my best interest at heart. I put her on a plane and flew her to Orlando.
Would you say that is conducting an interview on your potential wife romantic?
No, but it's smart. I mean, I'm telling you the truth because you know, when we get emotionally involved, we can't see straight. And
right.
you need some friends that can see clearly and make sure that, you know, that this is a person that's got your interest at heart. And a lot of times when we get in a relationship, you know, we get head over heels, we get the warmies, we think all kind of things. And we need our friends to be able to put their eyes on this person because, you know, I mean, hey, guys, we know when we meet a dude, if this dude is a friend of our sister or a woman that's close to us, we can sniff him out in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? She's all bent up and twisted up on this dude, and we can look at him and we can meet him in a minute and see if he's full of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get any negative feedback?
We all need our friends to be able to put our eyes on those people because we're all twisted up. We can't see it. Our nostrils are wide open, all kind of stuff. I'm in love.
Hey, Andrew, the brother had a question for you.
Oh.
He said, did you get any negative feedback from those friends about?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. And, you know, I would have taken a step back and examined it if I did. Because I told her. I said, look, I said, let me tell you something. I said, I got some people I want you to meet. And I'm going to say the truth. I said, you know, these people are very important to me. And I want you to meet them. And I told my wife, she'll tell you. I told her, they're going to put the one eye on you. She said, all right. I put her on a plane, flew her to Orlando. I said, put the one eye on her. And they met her, and they were like, dude, you better do this woman right.
That's good stuff. But let me ask, you know, going a little deeper with the interview process, did anybody get a copy of her credit report?
Yes.
You did?
Okay. Yeah, man, she had an 800 credit score. That, like, I was like, damn, I'm in.
Anybody else got a copy of her credit report before you walked down the aisle? No.
Nope.
What about a full background check? Did anybody do that?
Nope.
No.
No. On a scale of 1 to 10, I probably did a 5.
What about did you ask about her education? I mean, do you know? Did you know if she intends to further her education in any way?
We went to school together, so you know.
Yeah, but was she done? I mean, was that it? Did she want to ever further her education? Do you know that?
Yeah, I've heard of the conversation. Haven't seen it. Haven't heard it.
Yeah, because what I'm getting at is, you know, did you ask her about, like, her long-term goals, like career goals or otherwise? I mean, was that in the conversation during the interview process before you said I do? Well, y'all are good, man. I'm just checking them all off. Y'all got the credit report. Andrew sort of did a background check by flying her around to see his friends. That's sort of like a background check.
No, that was a looking forward check.
And you probably would have got off cheaper by actually doing an actual background check.
Well, you know, I had known her background. I wasn't as concerned with her background as where her heart was and where she was going, because my background sucked. And I wasn't, I didn't care if she was at Penn State or State Penn. Mm. I was worried about where she was going.
Mm. That's good.
Because we all been somewhere, and I've been somewhere, and I don't want to be there. I wanted to know where her heart was, you know, so I knew where we were going, because we all got a background, and
yes,
some
sir.
Of us, our background really sucks.
Yeah.
I'm not going to mention me and Tony, but I'm just saying.
Good
you
word.
Know?
But,
you know, so I wasn't so much worried about where her background was. I want to know where her heart was so I know where we could go in the future.
And speaking of, you know, you said we got everybody's got a background and, you know, we've been some places. Did anybody get her tested for AIDS or any other STDs?
Nope.
No? You just put the one eye on her, right?
What was it?
She looked, all right, she looked clean, healthy. All right, you pass.
Is Tony on the line?
He is.
All right, because he's quiet.
He is quiet.
I'm gonna try to
open him up with these.
Called him out, and he's still quiet.
Yeah.
You don't want to open me
up. I gotta try his shoes when I see him because he's all famous now.
You know, Tony don't get warmed up until 10 o'clock hour. But I got some interview questions that I hope that y'all ask her. And I'll give you an example because, again, I'm not being literal. So here's a test question for you. How many jobs have you had in the past? Now, translation, how many men have you dated in the past?
Man, why do you want to ask that question?
Yeah, we're not asking that. That's just a test. That's just a throwaway. That's just to get your mind thinking, you know, where you need to be, okay? All right, so here's the question, first question, interview question. I hope you ask her. At any point in your career, have you ever maintained both a full-time job and a part-time job at the same time? Talk to me, fellas. Talk to me. About to open T-Hawk up right here, you know. Let me read that again. At any point in your career, have you ever maintained both a full-time job and a part-time job at the same time?
What about two part-time jobs seeking full-time employment?
That was good.
I'm awake.
There he is. I told you.
Yeah.
That was good. One. That's good. Two part times. Looking for a full time.
Yeah, that was me. That was me. That's why I'm awake.
Now that's truth at 10 o'clock.
That's that was me. That's my story. I was one of them part time gigs, and it became a full time gig.
Wow.
I like that.
I like it. But I mean, if so, say she was, you know, just like you, T-Hawk. I mean, would that make her susceptible to pick up another part-time job after you decide to hire her full-time?
Well, just like the brother said earlier, you know, the only thing that's important to him is his annual review. And if you're on top of your job, you don't have to worry about the other part-time, especially if now they're wearing a ring.
Okay. All right.
No, and I'm not, you know, tooting anybody's horn. I'm just saying you have to be on top of your job to remain employed. I think that's the gist of
that's really true.
That's
yeah.
The gist of this call.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because, you know, if you're lagging, you're going to get a pink slip.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Y'all getting the concept now. I like it. What about that? Did you ask her this? How long were you at your last job, and why did you leave?
Yes, great question. And the other question that I think is real important to ask, what part did you play in losing the last job?
Y'all are getting it, fellas. Y'all are really, yeah. That's important.
Because if it was just the employer's fault, something's wrong.
Something's wrong.
Okay, and if you go back to the last three jobs, and it's always the employer's fault, something's wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not saying nothing. I'm just saying.
Yeah, because it's a common denominator with all those three jobs.
You know.
That's a good
I'm
one.
Wrong.
Anybody else? How long were you at your last job, and why did you leave? Did you ask that question? Did she give you an acceptable response if you did? Okay, all right, well, cool. I hope you ask her this. Is any of your prior work experience documented on video?
Woo!
Wow. What a question.
That's deep, man.
Yeah, we're getting close to the 10 o'clock hour. Yeah. I mean, really.
We got to get free Facebook and YouTube.
Hey, wait a minute. My dad had a video camera, bro. I don't know what you're talking about. You know, it's still. Let me ask the question again. I didn't ask was it posted on YouTube or Facebook. I said, is any of your prior work experience documented on video? Video cameras been around a long time.
Well, I'll tell you what. If it's documented, it will be posted at some point.
That's right. But did anybody ask that?
No.
Nah.
Missed that one, huh? Okay.
I mean you eventually find out when you try to break out the video to see if they are down with that or not.
See how
we still where you are, Tony.
But does she know, you know, speaking of the video camera, does she know the fastest way to get promoted? You know, meaning does she know how to get those brownie points or extra benefits with you? Does she know the fastest way to get promoted?
Knee pads. Straight to the top.
I mean, fellas, did you articulate these things? Like, you know, this is what gets me going, you know.
Yeah, but that was the representative.
You missed last week's call.
Yeah.
We talked about that representative.
We've talked about that a lot.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
We made a new discovery about that representative, didn't we, Rock?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But what about this? Did you ask her this? Do you know how to have fun at the workplace?
No.
So an interview is based on, should be based on the truth, but ultimately it's based on how well you sell yourself, right?
That's right.
So a previous employer, regardless if you can contact them or not, they can't say anything negative on the job. So you got to go based on the interviewee.
Right.
Ultimately, right? So no matter how many questions you throw at them, ultimately it's based on how well they sell themselves, whether it's true or false.
Yeah, and Rodney, speaking of selling themselves, what, how am I going to ask this? What kind of outfit is best for her to wear to the first interview? What kind of outfit should she be wearing? Should she be conservative? Should she be letting it all hang out? I mean, what, you know, the first interview, what kind of outfit should she be wearing?
She should be wearing the type of outfit, the same outfit that she could, that she would wear to meet your parents. On the first date.
That's good stuff.
That conservative.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So, I mean, the parents would be the barometer, I guess, or the standard. You know, as far as if you couldn't take her to meet, you know, Mom Duke and what she's wearing, then it's unacceptable.
I think she should wear what she normally wears.
Yeah.
So I know up front at the interview, you a good candidate, you're not a good candidate.
Because
it takes time, you know, it takes time. You hire somebody, it takes time to train, it takes money, right?
Yeah.
It takes money to do those things. They got to get you up to speed, and I don't want to waste 6 to 9 months of the company's time or money.
Yeah, because some stuff you don't want to,
as the CEO.
Yeah, as the CEO, absolutely, Rodney. But yeah, I mean, some stuff you don't really want to train, you know. So did you ask her this? Do you know how to work a pole?
No, you didn't.
Is that a good question? Is that a good question or a bad question?
I'm going to get an interview.
You know, do you know how to work a pole? Huh?
You're going to get slapped.
That depends on what you're looking for, I guess. What is the job description?
Now you're getting it, Rodney. Now you're getting it.
Mm.
But do you know what time is best for her to put in work?
You got to explain that.
Do you know what time is best for her to put in work? Now, is she a morning person, afternoon person, evening person? When it's coming to putting in work, do you know what time is best for her to put in work?
Anytime.
Anytime.
I got my mind made up.
I mean, really, what I'm getting at, fellas,
Rodney, I'm sorry.
Yeah, what I'm getting at, fellas, is does she know the scheduled work hours? I mean, is she flexible and willing to work overtime?
Flexible is a good thing.
Yeah.
Good questions.
Yeah. These are questions I hope you ask during the interview before you said I do, right?
Let me go back.
Yes, sir. Go back.
It was a question you had asked and said, did you ask if she had AIDS or if she would take a test?
Yes, I did.
So the question that I have is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is that question versus some of the others that you already asked on finances, et cetera, et cetera?
I think it's very important in 2011.
But that was the one question I haven't heard anyone say they asked.
Finances.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said they answered?
No.
Oh. I just want to see the contrast of questions. I know some of us asked some questions, some of us didn't ask others. But the one question that seems to be, I don't know, that's why I asked for a ranking of 1 to 10, seems to be utterly important is the one none of us asked, and includes myself.
Right. That's
finances.
Good words. You said finances?
Is that the question?
No, it's AIDS.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had that talk.
Okay.
Yeah, I had that. Early, way early.
That's good. At least one of us did.
Yeah. Right.
He's the only one to say anything.
I mean, you know, that is awkward, but at the same time can kill you. So,
right.
I'm gonna take my chances on being awkward.
Right. I applaud you. Like I said, I didn't ask. I probably should have asked because it is an important question. Like you said, it can kill you.
Yeah.
You're Her credit score won't kill you. You can improve that. But AIDS will knock you out the box.
Woohoo! Mm. Good words. But what can she do for you that nobody else can? And what I mean by that is, you know, did you ask her, is there anything unique that you can bring to the table that no other candidate would?
Hey, Roddy, you know I'm awake now, right?
Yes, sir.
And you did bring that question about infectious diseases up, right?
Yes.
And did we pay attention to how long it took before we were able to take the condom off?
Wow.
I mean, I think that's important. Do they prefer condom sex or non-condom sex?
Wow.
Is it 10 o'clock yet?
Yeah, it's that we in the door hour with that one. Yeah. Wow.
I mean, you know, I mean that speaks volumes. You know, if you're in the second time of making love and you're like, you know, I don't want to wear the condom. She's like, no problem, let's roll.
Wow. Wow.
Now, I don't know too many of them. Good
one. Mm.
You know, what was that?
Because, again, we're not a lot of times we're not thinking rational. This is the woman we want to marry. We want to spend the rest of our life with. So, hey, who needs a condom? Let's just keep, you know, let's just do what we got to do.
Mm.
But is she okay with it is the question. Or is she like, nah. We got to wear that for a while. I got to get to know you better.
Wow. A profound question there, bro.
What we do on Tuesdays.
Ha, 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 about this? How long, if you ask her this, how long will it take for you to make a meaningful contribution to the firm? And that's going back to, is there anything unique that you can bring to the table that no other candidate would? How long will it take for you to find out, yeah, this chick is, she's really going to work out? How long will it take for her to make a meaningful contribution to the firm?
I'm a bad one to answer that one. It took 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
That depends on if she owns knee pads.
Oh, I mean, really, if you look at it, you know, how are her work habits? You know, does she find herself steadily trying to improve her performance, or does she typically get comfortable and complacent because she thinks she's all that in a bag of chips? Like, she don't have to improve. You know, you met her this way, and she like, you know, you accept me how you met me. You married me, didn't you? I don't have to improve. How are her work habits? Is she trying to make a meaningful contribution to the firm? Final question, fellas. Did you ask her, why do you want this job? Why did you want this job?
That's a real good question.
Yeah, why me? Why do you want to, why me? Why you?
Because I need a job.
Yeah, you're the only one hiring.
You're the only one.
You ain't got no money. I ain't got no thesis. I ain't got no driver's license.
That's
I ain't got nothing to lose.
I mean, that's a very good question. I mean, because are you still, because that first time you asked, are you really going to get the honest answer, or are you going to get the
that
answer?
That's my point. You're only going to get what that individual wants to give you about them in order for them to get the job.
Mm-hmm.
When they're interviewing that job, and they want the job, somebody just said that, because I need the job.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, that's what you're going to get. How do you verify employment history? You can call, see if they ever worked. Yeah, that's true. But that ain't going to tell you the story.
Yeah, I mean, that's, why do you want this job? What is it, you know? Why this job?
Because you got a nice car. You got good benefits at the job.
Right. Well, check this out. If both, and this is a real interview question, if both your wife and your mother were in danger and you could only save one, who would you save and why? Now, that's a real deal interview question. If both your wife and your mother were in danger, you could only save one, who would you save and why?
Got to save the wife.
Why the wife, Andrew? Why the wife?
Just hey, all you others. Know she's number one.
Well, wait a minute. Is she just still in the interview process?
Oh, yeah. It's either wife or she was interviewed.
Mama's already on the board of directors. She's an interview.
Mama done lived her life. She got to die.
So y'all would save the wife? All of y'all would save the wife?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, got to save the wife.
Yeah.
Got to save the wife.
Yeah. Wouldn't ever want to be in that position. But
I mean, Mama would want that anyway.
You would hope. Would hope.
Yeah, you hope. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't
now,
know
the
if
question
I can
is,
my mama
you,
or not.
If, the question is, would you save the wife or the daughter?
Mm. Got to save the wife. Wow. That is the, I hadn't thought about that.
Mistaken all others, including your kids.
It's thin enough, I can carry both of them at the same time.
Hmm.
Cop out, P-Town.
Hey, they're my babies right there. I got to get both up. If my leg burned off, that'd be all right. They got crutches. They got fake legs now.
So, you know, that is a tough question.
Mm-hmm. But funny thing is, we would definitely die for him.
Right.
But would we live for him?
That's good. That's real good.
Would we give up our desires for their needs?
Already doing it, man.
Yeah. That's good words. But that was a real, actually, interview question I threw in there. I want to get back to this this interview piece. And there are many cases of what's called a job mismatch. But do y'all think there's a such thing as a marriage mismatch, a relationship mismatch? Because we all know that, you know, you have the wrong, we have a saying at my job, either change the person or change the person.
You either what?
You either change the person or you change the person.
Oh, okay.
And what that means is that you change the person's behaviors to satisfy the job requirements or you get a new person. If they, you know, if they don't, they can't work out, so it's like a job mismatch. But is there a such thing as a marriage mismatch, relationship mismatch? Like, this ain't gonna work, she ain't gonna change.
Hopefully you find out beforehand.
Yeah, but that's the problem about divorce, is we don't, you know. The thing is that you're not going to change and you expect them to change, and then they're not going to change. You got a major conflict there.
Mm-hmm.
You got what we call in the business world, conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm. And when you have a marriage mismatch, I mean, be honest. Have any of y'all ever thought about leaving your current job?
Not me.
Yeah, I might have to agree with Andrew on that
question again.
I said, have you ever thought about leaving your current job?
In the past, I had thought about leaving my current job when things weren't going well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I'm there with you.
You know, seven, eight years in the business. You know, after the honeymoon stage, and now it's time to man up, get right stage, and start, you know, gathering, you know, requirements are changing, and it's time for an upgrade on the maintenance. We were going through some things.
Mm-hmm. I feel you, brother.
But one thing about it is we got the wife. Maintenance done, and now we're okay. But hey, I mean, everybody's gonna go through that maintenance period,
mm-hmm.
If you put in the car term, where you get the normal 36,000 mile warranty, you know, the manufacturer warranty goes away, and now you have to get the extended warranty, or you have to deal with any problems on your own. Well, that 7-8 year, I deal with the problems on my own and not getting an extended warranty and let things get out of hand there for a while.
Yeah, you need that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, the one thing about a car analogy on maintenance is that it's inevitable that that's going to have to go. Are we saying in marriage that it's inevitable? But it'll eventually have to go. Okay. Because marriage maintenance is going to happen. We know that.
Yeah.
So I guess going back to Rodney's question is whether or not in the midst of the maintenance or that period, do you consider at that point leaving the job? Not that whether or not there's maintenance or there's troubles.
Yeah, but well, I mean, one of the considerations is when you have problems with something is
getting rid of it. Trading it in for a new one. Because you don't feel like dealing with it.
Mm. Well, weren't there red flags or signs that we ignored or didn't pay attention to?
There's always red flags and signs, even before you got, you know, in the interview process. But
right.
They showed themselves so good that you accepted some of those, and you knew that there's going to be a training period and then a growth period. So you expect them to fall into place.
Yeah, well, I would even add that maybe not so much that they closed it so good, because ultimately, I think we have to take responsibility. We chose not to see them.
Right. We ignored them or didn't pay attention to them. Now they've blown up in our face.
Mm-hmm. And what do they call that? What did Tyler call that? The 80-20 rule or something?
Hey, Rodney, I'm curious. I mean, we talked about the part-time job. Has anybody considered bringing in a temp to fill in where your full-time is lacking off?
Oh, my goodness.
There you go.
Wow, that's good, the temp.
Wow.
Because I don't know, is it just me, fellas, or does it seem like when you already have a job, you get a ton of other job offers?
Amen to that.
You know, it's like you already got a job, you know, just plugging away, but you get a ton of job offers.
Yeah, when you didn't have a job, you couldn't buy a job offer.
That's right. That's right. But that dude said bring in a temp. Wow. That's deep right there. That is deep right there.
I think when you
go ahead.
I was gonna say I think when you got a job, you look like you got a job. And when you don't have a job and you broke, you look like you don't have a job and you broke.
You can tell. Well, what things should you consider before quitting your current job? If anything, what things should you consider before quitting your current job?
Oh, man.
You always got to look at the benefits package.
Package. And what do y'all mean by the benefits package?
Health care. Vacation.
Health care. Stock options.
Paid days off.
Are you saying what should they look at or what should we look at?
What should we look at before quitting our current job? You got all these, you got a ton of other job offers. Got a temp agency that can fill the need. What things should we consider before quitting our current job?
Are we happy with the job?
Are we happy with the job?
Yeah, I don't want to get too deep, Rodney, but you should read that employee manual before you up and quit.
Wow. And I'm going to tell you what, the temp always looks good. They put on a good show.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when they're full-time, you see them on the cell phone.
Right.
Full-time, they stay in the bathroom too long.
Right.
They take too many smoke breaks.
Calling in sick.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
You got to be real and realize they're putting their best foot forward to get the job and fire that full-time employee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I don't care how green the grass is, there's always dirt up under it.
Yeah.
At least you know the dirt up under your grass.
And how do you, you know, we talked about the benefits package and things we should consider before quitting our current job, but How do you even do a job search when you're still employed? I mean, would that be considered disrespectful to your current employer?
No doubt. Got to be on the down low.
And do you think your wife could even handle the truth if you were to tell her that you're starting to have feelings for another woman while trying not to act on them? I mean, you're still employed, but you say, hey, got this job offer. I mean, you think she could handle that if you told her that?
How could you handle it?
I don't think anybody on any side can handle when, you know, somebody's calling saying, I got a better job for you.
Not unless she has an offer, too.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be tough, but, I mean, shouldn't we be able to talk to our wives in good times and bad to communicate, say, hey, we've been on the outs and got a potential job offer? I mean, how do we approach that situation?
I don't know if that's talking. That's abuse.
Why is it abuse, Rodney?
So you're mentally, spiritually, and verbally abusing her by telling her you're going after something else. That's not. Let's just talk about this rationally, you know, as husband and wife.
I mean, even now that you're married, does that mean you'll never be attracted to another woman ever again?
Nope. No, absolutely not.
So shouldn't you be able to tell her, like, hey, you know, job offers are looking mighty lucrative.
I don't think there's anything wrong with open conversation about other businesses, other attractive businesses that are out there. But I think when you start considering taking an offer,
yeah,
that's another path.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like this. When it gets to the time that you tell your employer you're considering an offer, you're already gone.
Wow. But should we look inside the company for opportunities before looking outside the company?
Yep, because they know all about you.
And I think a lot of times, you know, like we're already there. And sometimes we're too quick to look at the outside job offer.
Well, here's a good thing. If you've been at a job for some time, you're already vested. You got your retirement laid up.
Exactly.
And, I mean, you're going to start over. You got to start from ground zero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's important. I mean, you got years retirement, like you said. I mean, that's definitely important.
Because she's definitely getting half.
It's cheaper to keep.
Yeah, now let you get, a rock and you blow that thing over.
But looking back over your relationship, do you ever regret deciding to work for this company in the first place? You ever have any regrets like, man, you know?
Well, I mean, if you do, then something was always wrong with you, because I believe that you never tried to make it better as a head of household. But usually everything is an experience. It's you go through things so it can make you better. So going through those things, if you're still with your wife, I was just talking with somebody about this last week, is how do we get to 50 years? How do you become, you don't see jobs anymore that where a person stays 25, 30, 40 years in you know, at one job.
Unless you're Joe Paterno.
And why is that? Is because it's always an easy out. It's, you know, the next job is always going to, you assume, going to be better. Or you just do it just to get your resume up, you know, get, so you can get a little bit more clout and say, hey, I did this. But, you know, being respectful and make sure you're fulfilling the requirements and then taking that time to grow, that's what makes the companies, you know, 100 years, the IBM, the marriages that run for 50, 52 years plus. Because I guarantee you those marriages went through AGLL, but they got through it.
Yep. Made it through the storm.
In most cases, I think I would regret on the job, if I did regret anything, it's me not taking full grab hold of all the opportunities that came my way while at the company that I could have been promoted, that I could have moved up, trainings that were available, meetings I could have set in that I might have skipped, or conversations I could have had to help me understand something else better. Those type of things, I think I could, if there is a regret, I think it's that, not so much from the company.
Yeah, I think most companies have enough opportunity that you could really spread your wings.
Yeah.
But we kind of drop the ball and don't step up.
Yeah.
And then we blame the company.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. And speaking of blaming the company, has your wife's appearance fell off? I mean, does she not keep herself up like she used to? Does she not look as good as she did on that first interview? Has she gained a little weight, you know, maybe? Does she not look as good?
Have we?
Yeah.
Mm. I think we've all can look in the mirror and see something going on.
I think the employee and the company can look at itself and say, yeah, we've slipped a little bit. You cut some bonuses or you know, broke different programs. You stopped matching the 401k. You stopped, you know, doing this and stopped doing that. And then from a company standpoint and then from an employee standpoint, you know, a lot of it stems from the other. So, you know, because the company is doing this, that, and the other, I'm not gonna show up in a suit every day. I'm just gonna come in here as I do and just do my 8 hours and get up out of here. The company don't care about me and I don't care about it now.
Mm. That's deep.
Mm-hmm. That's a really bad thing when it gets to that point.
It's reality though.
Mm-hmm. It's reality on the job.
Yeah. It's reality.
Because you wake up stressed. You know what I mean? You wake up like, oh, I got to go work another day.
I mean, you look,
make
the
donuts.
Yeah, you look at the correlation between, and I know that's what you're doing, Rodney. You look at the correlation between work and marriage over the last 50 years. And, you know, 50 years ago, there was employee-company loyalty.
Mm.
You stayed on that company. You stayed on that job for 30, 40, 50 years until you retired and got your pension from it. And enjoy the rest of your life based on what the company gave you the first 40, 50 years. And, you know, you look at the correlation now, you know, with society and the way businesses are, no one's loyal to companies anymore. Companies not loyal to employees no more. And so they part ways quite often with no remorse.
Mm. That's deep. That is deep. That's good words, fellas. What about, is she not able to fulfill some of her duties because she's too busy taking care of her kids? Sometimes kids get in the way of work. y'all feel me?
No comment.
Some of the stuff y'all get tomorrow, but
right.
I mean, sometimes kids get in the way of you know, the work that's required in marriage. And we can either acknowledge that and try to rectify it, or we can just say, oh, you know, I gotta do this with the kids, oh, I gotta do that, and then the marriage suffers. You know?
Yeah.
And like the question the brother said, your wife and your daughter's in danger. Who are you gonna save? And the brother said, I gotta save the wife. I mean, because they should be the priority still, right? They came before the kids.
Mm-hmm. If I have to take my son to work. Oh, go ahead.
I mean, you know, the kid hadn't had a chance to live. The wife's probably lived a little longer, and the kid, that's a tricky one.
You can make more babies.
It was a little easier.
Yeah. That's good. But these last few questions, I want to close this thing down and talk about you guys a little bit when it talks about this thing, interviewing for your position. Did you make clear your expectations? Did you clearly articulate her job responsibilities?
What do you mean by clearly? What do you mean by clearly?
I mean, does she know what she's responsible for? Does she know what you expect? Have you articulated that to her clearly? And what I mean by clearly is that you've had conversations with her. You've communicated it with her and not left up to assumption.
I did. First thing I said, hey, separation is not an option.
That's what I'm talking about.
I said divorce was not an option, but, you know, there was some expectations 13 years ago that I said that we probably need to revisit. Because, you know, expectations change from when you first get married to now. But my expectations of where we need to be now is totally different than where we were so many years ago, if you know what I mean. So it's one of those always revolving doors that I don't think we always do. And that is explain what the new expectation is every year. I think for Sharon and I now, once a year, we write down our plans for next year. We got to start doing for 2012. What we want, our goals, money-wise, vacation-wise, kid-wise, and even career-wise. And then we go in and make checklists and see if we make those all of those goals for this year. So then, you know, we have amendments that to that document once or twice a year that's added in. But I think the question should be, do we do that often or do we not? Or we just do it, like, every so often?
I mean, what you're saying is that how often do you conduct an evaluation of her job performance?
Yeah. I mean, it's a big thing. You know, companies do it. Some do it twice a year, mid-year, every six months, and some do it every once a year. I mean,
so how often should you conduct a job evaluation?
How would you do that?
Well, I mean, you write the plan at the beginning of the year, then halfway through, maybe June, July, you go back and say, make that checklist. Where are we right now with the plan that we created at the beginning of the year? And are we on target for at the end of the year, or is it something that we're going to have to extend?
What plan
or
are you
is
talking
about? Something we're going to have to eliminate.
I'm lost here. What plan are we talking about as it relates to the marriage, like a six-month plan?
So you're talking about financial?
I'm talking about financial,
not individual. Not individual goals, though.
No, not individual.
When you say
review,
okay.
I'm talking about, you know, family goals. Because everything I do is through family. So,
gotcha.
I mean, I have one individual goal, and that's building a business. But even she's helping me with that, just with the encouragement and making sure that I'm handling my part.
Okay, but not. You have to lose 20 pounds.
Yeah. Well, if that's 20 pounds, then is that a family 20 pounds or is that an individual? I mean, that's part of the checklist.
That, I guess that's where I'm going when you say you're reviewing annually or biannually or however you guys are doing this. Not, you're not saying to her, okay, well, so here's my review for you, and she's saying, here's my review for you. You need to lose 20 pounds by so-and-so. You need to do this by so-and-so. Or are
No, I'm not putting it as you need to do this or you need to do that. That's crazy.
Okay, I'm just checking. I'm making sure I'm not completely off base the way I did what I'm doing
at home. What I'm saying is we together, you know, as husband and wife, if at the goal of the beginning of the year is for one to lose 20, then both of us should lose 20, you know.
Yeah, but going back to the expectations and the job responsibilities, I think, you know, back to Tony's question, how do you do it? I know when I get my review every 6 months, it's not a conversation without documentation. And I think you can't just have, oh, well, you're doing good, honey. You know, keep up the good work. You have to say you're doing good in this area, but you need to improve it. That stuff has to be documented. And I think that's key. You know, it can't be, you just can't be just talking. You know, it's got to be like your brother said, you got to write some of this stuff down as far as where you need to be, where I think you are, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't know if y'all agree or disagree with it. I just think it needs to be written down, just like your review at your job.
But your review at the job, isn't the review at the job one-sided, though?
Yeah, I mean, because one thing I learned out of the marriage class that we had at our church is that in writing things down, it becomes a contract almost. Like it becomes official. You know, this is not just verbal talk. That, yeah, went through one ear and out the other. Something you have to do. This is something we both agreed upon that we were going to do. And if you break that covenant, then there should be some consequence.
It threw me off a little bit how we're using the business analogy in marriage. And to me, it just doesn't seem like that's going to work. It seems like that's putting unnecessary stress on the whole union of marriage. Documentation, going back over a review. You know what I mean? If you guys are happy and it's working, if you're not, you go seek some kind of counsel or something. But it just seems like we're adding a lot of, and maybe just my interpretation of this topic is what's confusing me, but it just seems like it's getting more complicated.
But marriage is complicated, though.
Okay.
And marriage is, you have to go downtown and get a piece of paper saying that you're married.
Yeah.
It's official file, and they get divorced. You guys don't need paperwork.
And so is marriage in itself complicated, or do married people make it complicated?
Well,
exactly.
Married people make it complicated. Because even if you go to a third party, he wants to know the background of why y'all at this point. Why are you here?
And usually when you go to a third party, don't they write stuff down?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let them write. That's what they do. They can write. You can write too. But as far as like, I mean, does anybody on this phone right now have any type of documentation enforcing their marriage requirements?
Not formally. Not like in one document I have you know, P-Town said, I got the covenant somewhere from the class, but not like a form, like a one piece, like you can go to it and everything is there.
How effective is that document? Wherever it's at, how effective is it? Can you pull it back out and get what you want?
With me, I can.
Yeah, I mean, if I had that document, I could probably pull it back out and be like, look, you signed this. She'd be like, Ann? That's not how I feel right now. You know? I know I signed that, but that's not what I'm going through right now. I don't feel that way right now. I'm feeling a different way right now. Then what do? Get an amendment signed? You alter it?
I don't think you can alter it.
What happens is that if you're going by what that is, and she says, "Well, I don't feel," and then now, yes, we have to make alterations because, you know what, this is what you told me. I'm going by what you told me, and now if you feel different, then we need to go back and rediscuss that. It doesn't have to be written down. Basically, we're just saying, but it gives you a process, a kind of flow of how you want to build. You talk about that maintenance. You know, you got to keep. One thing you got to do is keep your marriage alive. Okay. And you can't keep doing the same thing, because if you keep doing the exact same thing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. That's a known fact. If it's not, somebody, please jump in. If you keep doing the same thing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting right at the point where you're getting it. And you're satisfied with that, and your marriage is satisfied with that, then you're fine.
Right.
But if you want your marriage to grow, you're going to have to do things differently.
Well, yes, yes.
And so you want to create a process of making sure that you do that. That without hurting something else that's positive in the marriage, or affecting time management where it may take you away from other things that y'all had planned in the marriage. But that's why I said it could be just written down on a piece of paper. It's not something, it's just a little checklist to say, hey, this is something we want to do for the year is over. That's my, it's just, here's our wants, here's our needs that we need to do this year.
Okay.
If we get through all of it, we get through all of it. If we don't, we don't. We pass it on to next year, or we see how we can make adjustments. But in marriage, if you want it to grow, like I get in trouble all the time because I'm always amending the document where my wife wants to go travel or go places, and then I'll take an assignment at work, and now we can't go on travel because, you know, I took this assignment at work outside of the home that has now affected her travel. So, you know, every time we have an argument every once in a while, hey, you know, we were supposed to do this travel. Why we get this stuff and we don't use it? It's not on her. She's going by what we talked about earlier. It was me the one that changed it. You understand what I'm saying?
So how do you document when you say, I just want to be happier? How do you document when you say, you know, I want to, you know, let's go back to the way we were when we were courting, when we were happy?
Well, I mean, there's no way you always want to go back to where you were, because that's where you were. I mean, you got there for a reason.
Well, I mean,
you
always
want to build upon that.
You're right. You're right. But if you were happy at one point, you're going to remember that to a point where, I mean, a lot of marriages get unhappy before they get divorced. And
right.
When you're
so
unhappy,
like
you want to find that happiness again.
Yeah, but it's like starting over. So you say, all right, listen, we're going into 2012. We had a bad 2011. We were not happy as a marriage. Okay?
Huh.
How do we make this happy? What are the things that you recommend that we could go throughout the year that you would feel excited about our marriage in 2012? Isn't that her just saying, we're going to write it down.
Exactly.
But here's the things that I like to do. I want to go here. I want to take you here. You know, I want to do this. I want to make sure that we save, in our savings account, we save $10,000 this year. All right? We'll figure out how we'll save the $10,000. But I also want to take you, we want to take a boat trip somewhere, you know, to the Caribbean. And she might say, yeah, that's cool. So let's make sure we use that $10,000 that we save up as our vacation for all we do this year. That's money we're not going to touch regardless of what issues we go through.
I got you.
You see what I'm saying?
I do. But the only issue with that is women don't work that way. Women don't forget stuff. And just like you said, I mean, you know, as men, we like to move on.
Yeah.
And we like to address whatever issue they have and move on. They are not that easy. So just like said earlier, hold on, just like you said earlier, you had an arrangement in 2011, but in 2011 you broke it several times. So now in 2012 you're going to make a new arrangement in the back of her mind, yeah, but it's going to be like 2011. What's going to happen different? So what good is that arrangement?
Well, the first thing I have to do is man up and make sure I don't make those same mistakes again.
Okay.
I have to prove to her that I'm not going to make those same mistakes again. Because, yes, you're right. She's going to have that in the back of mind. You say that every year, but, you know. So it's up to me to prove that the next time the job says I need somebody to do this, or the church says I need a volunteer, I'm going to say no.
Yeah. I mean, I've never heard the term.
Because I have obligations I already have with my wife. And you know, it's been documented on this call many times where I've said I've overcommitted myself for some reason. If somebody come and ask me, and I just won't say no.
And so I know
going in 2012 that I won't do that again. Because I see the effects that it is happening. That is done this year in 2011, 2010, where I did overcommit. I learned my lesson. And I tell her, I learned my lesson. Now that I got a very good understanding from you that this was something, you know, through counseling or through communications that y'all had, you know, while you were just discussing or arguing or whatever. Now that I have a full one, I'm not going to do that same thing because now I know how it makes you feel. Even though you'll be right there by my side, I know how it makes you feel. So I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
Because I'm writing it down, and then I'm going to keep my checklist. I'm going to make a copy of it, and I'm going to keep it, you know, so I make sure that I control everything that needs to be done on this paper.
And I think it's imperative that it's written down because that shows you're serious. Because maybe in the past you didn't write it down before. You didn't write anything down. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, what we're going to do? Okay, we're going on a cruise or we're saving $10,000 or whatever, you know, the brother said. But you were just like, and then you come the end of the year, it's like, oh, we didn't do any of that. Because I think the first step is, all right, let's get serious. Let's write down our goals. Let's write down where we're going, you know, with this thing and let's try to, you know, if it's written down, you can see it and, like, take it with you or put it on your mirror or whatever. I think that shows a level of seriousness that you didn't have in the past. And, you know, as they say, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. So if you do something different, like something wild and crazy, like writing it down, you know, and say, let's, you know, and I wouldn't talk about, like a long list, you know, it can start with a short list. And then you say, oh, it's, you know, we look at the course of the year and actually worked out. You know, it's like, oh, we got our three goals done. Let's do another three goals for next year or five goals or whatever. But, you know, I think that conducting the formal interview in advance, which we're talking about, and also doing an evaluation of where you are, is that can actually help you work out the difficult issues in advance, I think.
Okay, I'm listening.
And let me ask you this, Tony. As the head of your household, let me break this thing down for you because it's getting close to cutoff time.
Sure.
As head of your household, how would you describe your management style? Are you a micromanager or a macro manager? And micro means you got your hand in everything. Did you do
this?
No. So you're a macro manager, just stand off.
Yeah.
Now, do you think that you might need to get a little more micromanagement in your approaches?
No.
Not saying become a micromanager, but just, you know, be a little more involved than you have in the past.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. Because you have to know who you're with. My wife is not going to be micromanaged at all. Period. You know, she comes from an independent background, and you have to, at some point, you have to know your woman. And I know you all do, but what I'm saying is, you have to learn, and you have to pick your own battles. You got to pick your strengths and weaknesses and what you're going to do. So what I have to do is I can't micromanage. I tried that in the beginning. It didn't work. It pushed her further away. You see what I'm saying? So we have to find a happy medium where we can communicate respectively and say, okay, this is how we're going to get these things done together. I know a lot of men that micromanage, and that may work for them. It may appear to work, but then it puts the wife in an uncomfortable situation, especially an independent woman.
Does your wife know who the manager is?
Sure, sure. But it's not a dictatorship. There's a difference.
But do you think that she will ultimately like to be the manager someday?
No. Them days is over with. She's married to me now. You see what I'm saying? When she was the manager of her own company at one point, that was fine. But you got to understand, there's a transition. You know, when you have a person that was managing their own company for so long, there's a transition to allowing someone else to manage, right? And within that transitional time, you have to learn to be patient. I had to learn to be patient. I can't keep saying I'm the man of the house, I'm the man of the house. You got to do what I say. No, you know that. And then we have to figure out how we can meet in a happy place. You see what I'm saying? Where I am the man of the house, but I'm not going to dictate to you either because you're also an individual. Hope that answered it.
Yeah, because I'm just saying that you said that a transition.
Yeah.
And the patience during the transition period.
Sure.
But you said that, you know, your wife knows who the manager is, right?
Sure.
And she respects your position as manager, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't come in necessarily already knowing her role in the company. She has to sort of learn on the job.
No. I'm not saying that. She came in knowing her role, but there's still a transitional period in a relationship. Like mine. Mine is a little unique from a woman that is a single parent, raising
mm-hmm.
a child on her own.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got this man in the picture. And it's unique in a lot of different, I mean, you know, well, it's unique, but it's very common. And, you know, but you have to understand, you know what I mean? And you have to have patience. Even with the child, acknowledging you is now the manager. When the other person has been the manager the whole time. You know that's a transition, right? So why wouldn't it still be a transition with the wife? Same thing. Okay, I'm marrying you. I love you. We're going to get into this situation. Bam, here we are. And this is how I do things. I understand this is how you used to do things, but now it's a whole new set of rules. Okay, now when that person is understanding these set of rules, you have to have patience. All of them. There's certain things in your house that you want your wife to do that she's not going to do. Am I right?
I can't think of one, but I'm sure there are some. I can't think of one right off the top of my head, but yeah, I'm sure there are. Yeah, yeah.
For sure. Yeah. You as the man of the house, you say, I want these certain things done.
Mm-hmm.
But these certain things she don't know because you know she ain't having it, so you just haven't told her yet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same in my house. This is not back in the 50s, man. These women have their own mind. They have their own agenda. And for us to fit into that agenda, just like you said, if we don't fit into that agenda, they're going to be out there taking applications.
I think, you know, just like any other company, there's other managers on the phone in terms
yeah.
of business. And, you know, my employees are probably different than your employees. And even on the team, there's different personalities and you have to manage each one kind of different. But there's a core, there are core principles and a structure in place that everyone has to follow under.
Yep.
So I agree with both of you. Not to be a politician, but I think as a head of household, there has to be a certain governing or role and responsibility that comes with that. But then at the same time, the individual who's on the other side of that head of household, that woman of the household, is an individual, and so she can't be put in a box to be the same way as someone else's employee, if you will, which I still have a hard time kind of calling. As she's being interviewed, she's an employee, but once she's hired, she actually takes on a board position.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? So yeah, each individual, I think, Case, you got to know I always point back to what Tony said. He used to say that, he don't say it that much anymore. I don't know why, but he used to say, and I always point back to that because that's one of those extremes.
Yeah.
And some people in the house, believe it or not, can actually say that.
We all can, though. But Rodney, listen, we all can. We all, as head of households, have the right. At some point, you're going to say, because I said so, and that's the end of it. We don't ever want to take it there, but sometimes we have to take it there because that's your right as the head of household.
But that's your job, too.
Exactly.
I mean, you're the final decision. You know, you can let the wife, I mean, I tell folks all the time, I said, listen, there's times where you're the CEO, right? You're the CEO of your company. But you have a COO, somebody who's in charge of operations, and you allow them to make the decisions of your operations. And then when it comes to hard decisions, it's your company, it's your name, right? You gave her your last name, living in your house, making sure that you pay all the bills. You got the right to say, this is it. It's the final word. The executive decision has been made, and that's it.
How often do you say that in your house?
Oh, now listen. I always had it. Now, out of 10, I say 2. I probably say,
that's the point I'm making. Hey, look, and that's the point I'm making.
I got 2 marriage breakers where, hey, it's my way or that's it. And I'm sorry. Now, you can be mad as all you want, but this is what we're going to do. Now, I don't pull that card. I got to be, got to be very particular when you pull that card.
Yeah.
But you got to pull
it. You're right. You're right. But also, you're 100%. But you also have to be very particular when you say, because I said so. Mm-hmm. And there's going to come those times. There's going to come those times when you say, this is not up for discussion.
Yeah. Especially like I got Ayana, you know, it's gonna be a time when somebody's gonna say it's time for her to go out, and I'm gonna say no, and then it's gonna be why I'm great because I said so.
Yeah, ain't no why at that point.
And
it's no why.
You know, there's gonna be a time where you know there's gonna be a decision gonna be have to made if you're gonna stay, move, or. Is it time? I mean, there was one time I told Sharon, and then I said, baby, you're going to have to leave that job. She's like, well, I don't want to leave the job, but I said, they're killing me. And I said, don't let me have to come down there and show out and make you get fired. Because if I come down there and I talk to that boss, it's on. So I don't care. I said, listen, we'll make it. And this is when we went through and it came down, it goes back to that plan. Because we had that $10,000 saved up in 2010, when she left, she couldn't find another job right off. It took 6 months, 7 months before she got another job. So we had that to fall back on. You see what I'm saying?
But I want to ask this.
If we had done that at the beginning of the year, I don't know, we would have been living check by check by then.
I want to go back and ask this. And this might be a little deep, but when you got married, was it a merger or an acquisition? Because
it was
an acquisition, in an acquisition, you know, you have one company that acquires another company, and they, like you said, they keep the name and everything. But a merger, it's like, you know, two companies come together, and they're like, okay, which name, you know, is this? A lot of stuff is up for grabs, I guess. It's up for debate. You know, which name we're going to be. You know, which policies and procedures we're going to follow. Oh, we'll follow some of yours. We'll follow some of yours. We'll just put it all in a big pot. So with that,
one CEO in the house.
Yeah, I know, but what I'm saying is that the marital transaction, was that a merger or an acquisition?
Well, mine was a merger because, you know, she sucked my last name. I said, well, look, you can move your middle name to, you know, a lot of, you know, women move their last name to their middle name and get rid of their middle name.
I just want to know what prompted that question.
Because when you have two companies come together, whether in a merger or acquisition, the rules are different. And as I said, in the merger, you can keep, like, for example, you can take your wife's name, last name. You know, it's everything's up for debate, whereas in the acquisition, it's like, no. These, you know, I'm the big fish here. And we acquired you, your company, and you have to follow. Now, we'll take some of your stuff. You know, some of your stuff is pretty cool. But bottom line is we're the top dog here. Our policies and procedures and business practices have proved to be efficient. That's why we're bigger than you at this stage in the game. We're a bigger company than you.
And, you know, I get that. And I get that. And I also get, you know, because you've even spoke before about how, you know, all the money is controlled in your house. Everything is on a calendar, you know, when you guys get, you know what I'm saying? It's, okay, this is what we're going to do 6 months from now. Everything is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And understand, and that may work for certain households. But what you got to realize, that don't work in every household. You see, some people don't want that much control because that much control adds to more responsibility, extra responsibility. You see what I'm saying? When you're saying, okay, when you want to go out and spend money, you have to contact me because I'm the one doing the bills here. That, to me, that's a problem because then that's kind of like a dictatorship. You know what I'm saying? We have a set of rules. Don't go out and buy a car. You know what I mean? But if you want to go out and buy an Express, that's fine. Yeah. Do your thing. It ain't going to break us. You know what I'm saying? So again, it's the certain households that's in. If you have a person that is, I mean, sometimes you have to come to where your spouse is for her to understand you. We can't just say, okay, these are my rules. And this, and not in 2011. It just don't fly that way. Now, we have a standard like Rodney was saying. There is a standard in the household.
Yeah.
There's certain things you just are unspoken rules. You already know that this ain't going to happen. And there's certain things that a man is going to say. Just like when I said to my daughter, there will be no boys at my house, not even coming down the block. You see what I'm saying? That's when I had to step in and make an executive decision. Certain things. You know, at a certain time, the phone stops ringing. Certain things you're not going to wear. You see, that's a head of household stepping in and saying, this is what's going to happen because it's my job to defend if somebody gets out of line. You see what I'm saying? If a boy comes to the house, then I got to handle him. So I need to handle that with no interruptions, with no back talk, no nothing. But that's cut and dry. Those things are. But there's other things where you have to let them have. You just can't take everything from a woman and expect her to be happy.
Well, I guess let me put it this way. Now, you hired her, going back to our interview tonight. You interviewed her and hired her, and she's a wifey position now. And if she were, you know, in the work hours and everything was set, I think that what I'm getting at is that there are some basic rules and regulations that, like standards, as we said, standards.
Sure.
But at the same time, standards can be modified and change when a new employee comes, some for the better and some because they just don't want to, that, you know, it's like, I don't want to do that.
Sure.
But that's what you agreed to, you know, and it's a possibility that
you lost me. You said that who sets the standards? I mean, because we obviously have two different standards, your house and my house. And I understand
that.
Yeah,
two different companies.
Two different companies. So in your house, who sets the standards?
I do.
Okay, and she just says yes to your standards?
No.
All your standards are fine?
No.
I'll roll with it.
Employee input. And a lot of times, employee input is better than my standards. I'm like, you know, I don't even like this one anymore. You're right.
Wow. See, I mean, and look, I'm hearing you,
yes.
But you're saying a lot when you're talking. Just like Rodney said, he, you know, he's having a difficult time with that employee term. I am too. I am too. You know what I mean? Because I didn't hire her to be an employee. I hired her to be my wife. You know what I'm saying? And she's got to be happy. She has got to be happy in her own skin. You know, and I can only dictate with so much. But yes, certain roles in my house are mine. She can't have them. Certain responsibilities are mine. No, she cannot have. There is not two heads here. But I don't have to flex my role, my position every single day of my marriage.
Well, let me ask you this. Is the manager responsible for the happiness of the employees?
Of course. Of course.
So if the employees ain't happy, you have to look at the manager.
Of course.
Sure.
Of course.
Sure. And if your employees are satisfied, your performance will go up.
Exactly.
Simple as that. Your production will go up. Your performance will go up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
Brian.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. I'm good.
Yeah, I didn't wait for my wife to come home and tell me we need marriage counseling. I took care of that. You see what I'm saying? I didn't wait for my wife to tell me we need to go out more. I made sure we went out more.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So there's certain things you have to do as a head of household. You can't wait on them. Because you wait on them, it won't get done. Because they're depending on you as being the head to take care of it.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So it's not, you just know what you have to do in this position. But then you also have to be a delegator. You also have to be someone that can say, okay, I used to be a sales manager for a car dealership for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And the best sales managers are the ones that get their salespeople paid. Okay? And the ones that close their customers when they walk through the door. They make them a deal. You have to be a chameleon with 20 different people. They all have to have a certain individual relationship with you. Because if they don't, they're not going to sell for you. It's the same with marriage. You have to be able to fit in that position where she knows he's got my back, he's got my best interest, and he's not trying to bully me into something as an employee role.
So your employees receive the benefits, therefore it made them happy. Therefore, everybody's happy.
And then they make
everybody's
you
happy. Yeah,
and then they make you happy.
Yeah, and then they make
absolutely
you happy. They make you look good.
Sure.
And employees don't like to ask for that. They don't want to have to ask for things. In other words, if they deserve a raise,
yeah,
then they expect to get the raise, not necessarily have to go into the office, into a manager's office and beg and plead and show cause for them needing should have received a raise or appreciation of some other sort, the employee of the month awards or whatever other type of thing. They don't have to beg or send emails at 11 o'clock at night just to show the boss that they're actually working. They don't want to feel like they're under that type of scrutiny. They want to just come in and the boss say, I appreciate you. Hey, you did a great job on that report last week. Or, hey, here's your nominee. You got a $50 gift card, whatever the case is. And when reviews come up, you know, you've done, here's your checklist and your grades are all A's. And because of that, here's your, we're giving you a, 7%, 10% raise or whatever it is. You know what I mean? And that right there makes for a very happy employee. You will have no problems with that employee. As a matter of fact, anybody trying to bring drama to you, that employee is going to cut them off at the gate.
That's right. But let me ask you a question, Rodney.
Mm-hmm.
How many times does the employer get accolades? Just saying.
But yeah.
A better business is when the manager doesn't look for accolades.
Oh, you're talking about, so it's all bottom line driven here?
Man, y'all
getting
deep now.
I don't think it's
now.
All bottom line driven in the man.
Y'all are getting deep now.
We need accolades.
Hold on, P-Town. Let me give you some accolades. Because you just exhibited that you're a good manager. You noticed an unhappy employee, and you didn't wait for the employee to come into your office and close your door and say, you know what, I'm unhappy. You noticed it, and you made the step. You took the steps, several different steps, to improve that employee or your sole employee's job satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good manager.
With no accolades.
I'm giving you accolades.
Oh,
let me give it to you. I'm giving it to you tonight. Because the fact of the matter is, a bad manager, a.k.a. a bad head of household, who's been like, you know, hey, you need to tell me what's going on, you know, so I can fix it or whatever. You sought out. She didn't even have to tell you that it was some unhappiness or some dissatisfaction at the job. You said, I know it. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to try this. You know, it may work, it may not, but at least I'm going to try it. So, I mean, to me, I'm giving you accolades. That's a good manager. That's a good head of household.
Mm-hmm.
To even be able to identify that and say, you know, I'm going to act on that. I see there's an issue. The employee didn't even necessarily come to you and say it was an issue. You recognize the issue just in behaviors, you know, and everything. And you say, I'm gonna improve that.
And that's one of those things with that review process that was being mentioned earlier, that see, if you're going to do, it's best that you do it without having to go through the process. However, if you're gonna go do it, you better make sure with employees, you better make sure that you follow up with that. In other words, I just recently took over a different team. And in doing so, I had one-on-ones with all the team members, and I asked them, so what are some of the challenges that you're having? That was one of the questions. And then the second question I followed up with, it was career pathing. Where do you want to go? What do you want to do? So I can set your goals up accordingly to get you to that point.
And that goes back to that documentation at the beginning of the year. What do you want to do? So let's write this stuff down so we can make a checklist and make sure I handle my business to get you where you want to be.
And I'm not disagreeing. I don't disagree with that. Is it a different way of handling that in another household? Probably so. But nonetheless, can we both get to the same point?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Can we? Because there's different managing styles, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Sure.
Yes. I'm micro. I'm a micromanager.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah, you go, Rodney.
Right. Yeah.
I'm a
micromanager.
Yeah. I'm not a micromanager. I you know, I'm one of the ones that I delegate something to and I expect it to get done.
Yeah.
And then when I come and run the report and if it's not done, then I come to you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
What we're saying is that both the micromanagement style and the macro management style can be successful.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now listen. You're right. But how do you measure that success?
Well, I mean, it just depends on how you look at your measurement. You know,
yeah,
what's the green? What's the green? What's your balanced scorecard? I mean,
right. What did you agree on? You know,
what is your scorecard?
I hear you. And it sounds real good, but that's not the answer I'm looking for.
But listen. For example, last week Rodney said on his balanced scorecard he got a green because he found the keys and took it to his wife's work, and she sent the email back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which ended up being assignment for him, which ended up when he got home having a nice night with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah,
you
but
know,
I mean,
me,
the whole story was
good,
she needed something from him.
But yeah,
what, Tony?
She needed something from Rodney. We know that story. We heard it. She needed Rodney to deliver something for her.
Wait a minute. Let me stop you right there. Stop you right there, brother.
Uh-huh.
She did not need me to take her her keys.
Oh, that's right.
I volunteered that.
Gotcha. My bad. My bad.
Yes.
My bad. But listen, listen.
Yeah.
But that's not the answer that I was looking for, Patrice, because, and that was a good example.
I was just putting that out there, but now let me get back to me. If I do something good, it's visible. I can see it. I can see the light still on. I can see the happiness in the home.
Employee happiness. Job satisfaction.
Okay.
There's no argument. There's no arguments going on in the home. The house is clean. And even at night, that door is shut. And I done told y'all about the door shut.
Okay. Okay. I hear you.
What that means.
Hold on, P-Town. Go ahead, T-Hawk.
I hear you, but you sounding like an employee to me. You sound like you're putting in work.
Well, listen,
to achieve a goal.
It's undercover work.
It ain't undercover work. Now it's undercover work. Either you putting in work or you ain't putting in work. What kind of head of household got to put in that kind of work?
Everybody got to put in. Listen,
you see what I'm saying?
Steve Jobs don't have his stocks up at $585 for no reason where he has to put in work.
But listen. What kind of true manager got to put in that kind of work? Now I'm throwing the question back out there. Got to put in that kind of work to get that kind of a response from an employee.
I thought it was the other way around.
Hey, no, Tony.
Yeah.
Isn't managing harder than being an employee?
Of course it is. It all depends on how many employees.
So you almost expect, as a manager, that you got to do more work than your employee, right?
But all depends on how good of a manager and a delegator you are.
No, because when the buck stops with the manager.
Is it harder or different?
It's not necessarily harder if you run a smooth ship.
Look at Joe Paterno. I'm getting off the wife and husband, but I got to put this example out there. Look at Joe Paterno.
No, not Joe.
Who?
Joe
Paterno.
Nah, come on, man. Come on, man. Please.
We can't do that.
Get back to the topic, man.
Come on, man.
Here's a man who's been respected throughout, not even out his home, but throughout the whole community, right?
That's got nothing to do with what we're talking about.
If you fail and you sweep something under the rug, I'm just sweep that under the rug. It's not as bad as it is. And you don't never fix that issue. What's done in the dark will come out in the light.
I'm talking about, look. The real...
So when you go back to marriage, now let's put that back into marriage. Some things you did in the dark.
But we're not even talking about that. We're not even talking about things in the dark.
Hold on, P-Jack. Go ahead, T-Hawk. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, we're not even talking about doing wrong.
Right.
Are we?
No. Go ahead, T-Hawk.
Okay. But look. The true test of what type of manager you are is how happy your employees are.
That's exactly right. There you go.
You're getting it,
though. That's what I'm trying to say. That's the true test. Now, if you say your style of marriage works, I can't tell you it works. Your wife has to say, I like this style of marriage.
That's right.
And she has no problems.
That's right.
And I'm going to add to that. It would be on that the fact that your employee is happy, your employee, I should say, is happy, but it's also the growth of the company.
Thank you.
And it goes back to what happens if you, the manager, the CEO, finds out that you got unhappy employee.
Like I just said, You have to look to the manager. It's the manager's responsibility. Or do you have to modify your plan to satisfy their needs?
Well, it's against the law to fire an employee because they're unhappy, first of all. Right?
Totally against the law.
Say it again.
Yeah, totally against the law. I'm agreeing with you.
Totally It's totally against the law to fire an employee because simply because they're unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
That's first and foremost. We can't even go down. We can't even put that into our thinking.
No.
That because they're unhappy, they're disgruntled, they're negative in the workplace. We can't even go there and even think about disconnecting, divorcing, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
If that employee is unhappy, it is that manager's job to make sure, to find out what's making that employee unhappy and fixing the problem for the sake of the company.
Yeah.
Not necessarily for you to save face. Not for you to save face. Not for you to keep your persona, but it's for the sake of the company. How do I get this employee happy? Because again, a happy employee is a productive employee.
Mm.
You're right.
Wow.
You're right, because morale is a big thing when it comes
That's right. Morale is huge. Employee morale is huge.
Y'all laying it on it right now.
And then now you say, because I say so, that's not going to work in this situation when you have morale already down, when you
that's
just
right.
do it. I said so.
I tell you what happened to me
it's
today.
It's the way you say it.
Hold on, P-Town. Go ahead, T.O.
Let me tell you what happened to me today. I got home probably about 40 minutes before my wife tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Went in, grabbed my ice cream, made me a little milkshake. Grabbed my computer, I was going to go downstairs and do some work, right? My wife called. And she had called 10 minutes early, said, hello, I'm on my way home. I said, all right, see when you get home. Then she called me back 10 minutes later, said, I think I got a flat tire and I'm on 301 and it's pitch black. And I was like, 301, pitch black. I said, all right, I'll be right there. Grab my gloves, put my coat on, get to 301, right? See her on the side of the road, pull up, jump out the car, pull her thing out, change her tire real quick. And I said, all right, now you take my car, I'm going to take your car. She was like, no, I got some places where I need to be. I said, you ain't driving on this donut. Get out, take my car, and then I'm taking your car.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So she wanted to have her way. Well, this is my car, you just fixed it. No, your car's not fixed.
Right.
The donut.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? But it was an executive decision. No, I'm not going to have you... I don't know how long this donut's been sitting in your trunk. This is an old
right, thing. I like that.
Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to take
yeah.
it. If we're going to break down, I'm going to break down, and then I'm going to have one of my boys come get me.
Right.
You take
right.
my car, that's 100%, and get
yeah.
that to where you got to go.
Love it. I love it. Yeah, that's good.
That's
you
like see
what I'm saying? But for them, but for them, they don't understand it. They don't. Sometimes they just don't get it. And you're like,
and it's not.
Go ahead, mm-hmm. go ahead.
Now I'm saying, and it's and in most cases, it's not their job to get the bigger picture.
Wow.
You just dropped it.
That just went between the eyes right there.
Yeah.
It's the CEO, it's senior management's job to know the
That's
bigger
right.
picture.
Wow.
Yeah. Because sometimes you have to protect them from this.
Yes.
Wow.
That's exactly right.
And that's
exactly
what a head
right.
household do. You protect them from themselves. Because had she, anything could happen.
Yeah.
Anything could happen. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Okay, yeah, boom. Now,
now the
blown out.
The what's that? The little small little donut tire?
Yeah, the donut.
Bus,
yeah.
And now you get in an accident, or now you got to pay for a tow truck. Now you got to stay out there another hour.
Another hour. Yeah.
Or a tow truck to come. Now you got to pay money to him just to tow it to the house.
Exactly. Look,
what
if it would have broke down on me.
For the first time.
If it would have broke down on me, I could have left it there and jogged home.
But
I'm not going to have her walking home.
Right. But look, let me paint this picture for y'all. T-Hawk, perfect example. This guy knows, you know, the bigger picture because he's been there before.
Yeah.
Of what can happen when an employee becomes dissatisfied. And it's not just, you know, the employee leaves the company, the manager's unhappy, it's like, where did I go wrong? But it's a lot of other, you know, then the productivity at the company goes down. It's like, we got to,
got to replace him. You know, we're missing that person. But like Rodney just said, some employees don't know the bigger picture of some of the stuff mm-hmm. that's required by management yes. because it's not for them to know.
Right.
They know that's the manager's role to say, just like he gave the example, you're going to take my car because I don't know how long the donut's been. You don't want to be riding around, you know, it gets dark. You don't want to be riding around in the dark with a donut, period. When we have another vehicle sitting right here that's fully equipped, to my knowledge, is better equipped than yours, so you're going to take that. But I think it's imperative that, again, as visionaries, as managers, as CEOs, as head of households, we are the ones that are always looking out for the big picture.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I think
Rodney, both Rodney, mm-hmm. what you just said by making that statement is so monumental. It is so profound that mm-hmm. when we talk about half of the people that get married get divorced,
mm.
it's because half don't understand. And I can say, yeah, the women might have been whatever. I'm not talking about women. And we really get on here and talk about what the woman's job is. Because
right.
that's not what's important. What's important is what we do. And just like you said, sometimes they don't even understand the decision that we have to make. But we have to make them for the better good of the company.
Mm.
Period. And those that right. didn't make them, and they were waiting on their wife to do something or waiting on their wife to make a move or whatever, eventually waited out till they got a divorce because they didn't understand it's my job to make sure that this ship stays afloat.
Right.
Period.
Yeah, exactly. The CEO, it can be 13 different departments or units to that company, and that CEO has to know all 13 and make sure that they're all being productive and vetting out all kinds of different things. That employee, on the other hand, really only understands their department if they're a good employee.
Right.
<Yes. laughs>
They don't understand the other 12.
Absolutely. Don't even know they exist in the company, to be honest.
Oh, man, that's good.
I don't know how many times my wife has said to me, oh, I didn't even know we had to do that.
I didn't know
we were doing this.
Yeah.
I didn't know you had this type of insurance, this policy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And the bottom line is that companies go out of business every day. Marriages
every day.
Get divorced every day.
Yeah. Every day.
Yeah.
Here you got a manager. You got managers on the line say, this company is not going out of business. I don't care if I got to do all 13 departments by myself for a while. But we ain't going. We're not shutting out the lights. We're not selling off assets. We're not going out of business. Period.
Period.
Right. Right.
Period.
But the judge is not looking to merge with anybody else.
Whereas an employee, they like, I can just get another gig at another company. Well, you like, this is family here. This is generational
yeah.
here. This is for eternity. This joint ain't going out of business until I die. You know, as long as I'm living, I got breath in my body. This company is not going out of business. So
right.
that's why we make the moves we make, because it's the big picture.
The big picture.
But listen,
yeah, the big picture.
Let me add on to that, because a true manager, even when he dies, is not going to make sure that the business will fall.
That's right. Oh, that's right.
That's right.
That's right.
He's gonna make sure
yeah.
that those bills are paid that the kids
yeah.
and the wife don't have anything to worry about.
Well, exactly, and that's the word, right? The word says that a good father leaves an inheritance, or it just says a father leaves an inheritance to his children, to his children's children. So not the mother, but it talks to the CEO. So then you're gonna leave the inheritance. You're gonna leave. Make sure that the company is sound, whether you are there or not. And that's the mark of a good leader.
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
And that inheritance. Isn't always – now, we getting ready to take it somewhere. He just took it there. And I'm going to piggyback on it.
Yeah.
And that heritage isn't always money, That's
right.
Life control, you know, you need that. But the inheritance is letting them know who's really in charge of this household. Who's really in charge of this marriage. You understand what I'm saying?
Who's
when you
really
think
in charge
me,
of the company?
Look, when you think
right.
it's me, you're wrong. There's one more step up.
Ooh,
you know,
right.
and we all going to know who's really in charge and who's really making the rules. And we're going to exercise that actively.
Right.
And that's that inheritance. That's that inheritance. You get them going. You get them knowing about the Lord. You say, okay, these are the rules. I didn't make these rules. He made the rules. I'm just
right.
following them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
And a company that abides by his rules can never fail.
Can never fail.
That's exactly right. The
never.
Greatest CEO.
Yeah.
Never fail. Never fail. You ain't calling in sick.
Yeah.
You don't call it in sick.
Yeah.
You think you're sick.
Yeah.
Ain't no calling in sick.
That's it. That's
you
it.
Know what I mean?
Man.
Leave is not an issue.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And
leave is not an issue here.
I say he's the greatest CEO because no one has a bigger picture than him.
No one's got a bigger picture.
And look at that. We talk about we got a big picture. We don't even know what he has or what his bigger picture is for us.
Nobody knows.
Nobody
knows. Yeah, but
his company's
yeah.
too big. You couldn't buy the company anyway.
And guess what? His rules for us are very simple. Show up for work on time. Period.
Right.
Man, that's good. That's,
good.
Word.
All you got to do is show up for work. All you got to do is show up for work.
Mm.
And your assignment will be right on your desk. You show up for work.
Man, T-Hawk, I think you got it, brother. Man, yeah. I got a little something for open mic. I'm going to flip this thing over, but... A conclusion, fellas, of course, before I get you all out of here, but I do have something for open mic. Building a strong, balanced, healthy relationship is not an easy task. It takes both partners working together, planning, and actively communicating. Whether you're just starting a committed relationship or you're well into a long-term marriage, communication is key. As your relationship gets more serious, your conversation should get more detailed and more specific. Positive discussions and healthy dialogue with your wife or soon-to-be wife will only help make your relationship stronger. From goals to lifestyle choices to children to finances, discussing these things can help you to chart out a course for your future. Conversations about expectations and responsibilities are best had early in the relationship. Getting to know your future wife's position on important issues early can help head off more difficult discussions during the marriage. If you can't talk about these touchy subjects before you get married, you're going to be in a world of trouble after you get married. Most importantly of all, fellas, in the beginning, make sure that you choose the right candidate for the job. That concludes our show for the evening, fellas. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of our virtual talk show brought to you by the Head of Household. We hope that you enjoyed the show. You can join us again next Tuesday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And next week's topic will be... What do you want from me? I like it. I like it. For more information, please feel free to visit our website, householdstress.com. That website again, householdstress.com.
What do you want from me?
Yo, trying to figure out why